And I invite you to remain standing as you're able in reverence for God's Word this morning as we come to our Gospel lesson. The Gospel comes to us this morning from the Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 27 through 38. Luke 6, 27 through 38. Let us hear now the Word of the Lord. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You may be seated. And let us pray. Oh God, we pray that you would come over us. And oh God, we pray that you would overcome us. Amen. This is one of those passages you just want to sit down after you hear it, don't you? I mean, it's so weighty in the pronouncement. It is so far beyond our capacity, it would seem, to fulfill. And yet we know that this is not the only time that Jesus speaks to this matter. It's not the only time where Jesus teaches about loving your enemies. In this passage in Luke, we have Jesus' recollection or recounting this or giving this sermon on the plain, on the level place. But Matthew records similar words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. They're similar, but there are a few differences. Let me read that passage. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 38. You've heard that it was said, eye for eye, and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward do you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you only greet your sisters and brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now I read those words, especially that last line, and I think of the not only improbability, but the impossibility of loving the way that God loves and being perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. It seems so far beyond us, inescapable in its scope and beyond what we could ever muster. But perhaps Jesus here is not asking us to act in our own power. I'm reminded of the words, these words from John chapter 15. John 15, starting in verse 1, Jesus says to his disciples and to us, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, that one is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Our ability to forgive, then, our ability to love our enemies, is not rooted in any fleshly strength or source. It is not in our ability or our conviction simply to will and to do good. That is far beyond what we could possibly do. But it is rooted in who Christ is, and it is rooted in our experience of his mercy toward us. See, in the Luke passage, I believe that these are the key words for us to understand this passage. In Luke 6:36, Jesus says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. See, we are called as Christians not to follow the ways of the world. The phrase, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, are famous words. They come from the Code of Hammurabi. And we can easily be caught up in the justice of this world, which says, if you have harmed me, then I will harm you. We can believe in this retributive justice in which we seek justice. And not just seeking justice by restoration, but we seek to punish the evildoer. Now let me ask you a question. If you were accused of some crime, What kind of judge would you like? This is interactive, so Rose sometimes surprises me by just blurting out answers, but you're supposed to blurt out answers here. What kind of judge? Fair. Merciful. Wise. These are all words that came up at the first service too, so we're tracking in both services. This is good. Fair. Merciful. Wise. Honest. Somebody at the 8:15 did say a judge who would take a bribe, so that's a little different. But a little biased toward mercy, toward you. Yeah. Right? Compassionate. Forgiving. I want a judge who's wise but intelligent. Somebody who can take the complexity of the case, take all the facts into consideration beyond what, you know, some judges may look just very narrowly. But I want a judge who can be open-minded. They consider all the factors. You see, in doing this, what we have described, I believe, is how not only we want God to judge us, but truly it is how we have experienced God. That He is merciful. We read these words from 1 Peter. I want to read this. I'm going to take the time this service to read the preface, even the beginning, the address, the introduction. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. We experience the fullness of who God is in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even in the introduction here. And Peter says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept for you in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." See, it would be easy for us to look at this passage in Luke, and when Jesus says, even sinners do that, it would be easy for us to point fingers, isn't it? Yeah, those sinners, that's what they do, Jesus. But that's not who we are called to be as the church. Jesus, I believe, is trying to get His hearers to understand that they are the sinners. And they are the ones who have been loved. For even while we were enemies of God, even while we were objects of God's wrath, He sent us His Son, Jesus. We are not deserving. So easy for us in the church sometimes, and all too often, I think, to believe that we are the deserving ones. We are not deserving. We are merely those who have received mercy. And our job as the Church of Jesus Christ is to be, well, I love these words of Pete Briscoe. He speaks of it of grace. I will say it of mercy. He says that Paul is a trafficker of grace. And I believe that as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are called to be traffickers of God's mercy. Let me just say this. If you look at the world around us, particularly if you look at the swiftness and the harshness of judgment, particularly on social media, there is no mercy. I don't care if you're right, left, in the middle, if you make a mistake, if you say the wrong thing, there is no mercy. If there's a commodity that our culture is short in, it is mercy. It is love. It is saying to those who are our enemies that we will not curse you, that we will send a blessing to you, because we have been those who know what it is to be an enemy of God, and we've been reconciled to God because of the greatness of His love for us. How can we not, as we have experienced the love and the grace and the mercy of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, how can we not look at the world around us through the same lens? As those who have received, so are we called, though, to be those who give. Consider these words as Paul writes to the church at Rome. Romans 12, starting in verse 9, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. So I do not believe that Jesus in this passage is trying to dismiss evil. He's not trying to say that that which is evil is okay, or that evil will somehow triumph. But what he is saying is even in the midst of it, we can love. So we continue to hate what is evil, but we cling to what is good. We desire our sisters and brothers who do not know Christ to turn and to experience reconciliation in what Christ has done not only for us, but also for them. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, in sibling love, in phileo is the Greek word, where we get the word Philadelphia, a city of brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with everyone. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. For if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. My friends, leave room for God's wrath. As it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. To me, perhaps, for the church to stand apart from the world today, this is the best thing that we can do. We see snark on every side. We see derogatory and hateful comments returned with hateful comments. And we as the church, we are not called, no matter our position, no matter how right we may be, to revel in our rightness. But we are called to be those who in great humility traffic, trade, give to those who do not deserve, because we are those who have received without deserving. We're called to be those who love because we have experienced the love of God. I will say this, and it kind of amazes me. Every week, I preach the lectionary gospel. So the great thing about that is I don't pick it. It just happens to be oftentimes so timely. But one of the things I notice is that to me, every time that we consider the text of the gospel, every time it points us to the greatness of what God has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And every time it points us to the table. Even in the complexities of whatever it is we preach, and if I preach horribly one Sunday, praise God that we rely on the table to come to Christ. Because the efficacy of the table is not based on me. It's not based on my eloquence. It's not based on our ability even really to receive it. It is based on the love and the mercy and the grace of God given to us freely. That we come to this table to remember once again that He has given Himself for us. The words of the sermon today, they are in the text that we say. When we say, when we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. We are bearing witness to the love of God in Christ Jesus, not just for us, but for the whole world, for whosoever will believe.